last, especially since we've been teaching about what happened at Pentecost, about turning the world upside down, it has struck me the absolute ridiculousness of what I teach. Because there's...
Spock is still beeping.
Somebody was rummaging around. Nobody's in there. There were two. There were doors opening and closing with about 2:10. No, it was our building. I mean, it was upstairs.
But anyway, it's for the human mind to accept that we have been, to accept what faith is, really that the entire, complete, overwhelming work of God is one thing, to believe on Him who He has sent. I mean, that's what Jesus said. So the only question is, what does believe on mean? Well, it means 100% reliance. Well, how can I do that? Because it violates the entire structural system that my mind and my being and my society and every society of every world, of every culture has ever invented. There is a total and complete violation of common sense by the gospel. And it's a totally different everything. I mean, there's nothing about it that has anything in common with what, or any value system that is in common with what, whatever it is. I don't care where you grew up. I don't care what you heard when you was a child. And so the whole thing is, you know, I used to talk a lot about Chinese baseball. And this is what really the gospel is. It's the epitome of Chinese baseball. In 1948, and this is supposedly a true story, a missionary group that had missionaries in China sent a complete baseball bags, bats, balls, catcher's mitts, uniforms, for a missionary that he was going to introduce baseball to China. And so he set about to translate the manual. And the Chinese, the Communist Rebellion happened in 1949, and he wasn't able to finish the instructions. And so, years later, he came back after there was some ability to go back into China for Christians, for the missionaries. And he went back to the place, and they were playing baseball with one minor difference. When they had the pitcher's mound set up right, and the bases set up right, and everything was set up right. But there was one minor difference. And that difference was is that if the batter hit the ball, the first baseman picked up the base and ran with it. And so the batter that made the hit had to catch the first baseman before he was put out. But that is an example of what we are doing with all of our activities and all of our little plans and ideas. We're playing Chinese baseball with the gospel. The gospel says it's finished, it's over, it's perfect. And yet, we continue to play, to chase the bag. And it's like, can you believe for just a split second that the only function is to believe on Him who He has sent? In order to do that, you have to abandon yourself. You have to give no credence to what your mind is telling you, other unless you want to, and then you have to push everything to the end. That you have to abandon yourself to accept your death, that you really died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Have you ever really lived the gospel, even for a moment? Or has it just become an overlay for your life? Can you today begin abandoning yourself, taking no thought for yourself? Or will you start that tomorrow? Except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. The whole purpose then of the mystery of God is finding a place to fall into the ground and die to yourself. We've seen it's very rare for people to do that because their own agenda and their own concerns wins out. But the one mystery is faith. And faith is believing. But it's not believing as an add-on to your life. It's believing in spite of everything in your life. In spite of everything in your head. And then it's faith which worketh by love. But there can't be any mixing. You can't decide, well, I'm going to pay attention to how I feel today. Or I'm going to pay attention to what somebody didn't look at me right, or somebody ignored me, and so I have to revert back to my own self-defense mechanisms to protect me. Or I see some apparent need and now I have to be concerned about it. It's either all faith or no faith. There isn't any room for in-betweenness. We have been invaded from beyond by a life that has a will and a way of its own that not only doesn't want your help, it cannot use your help, and if you try to help it, then he goes away and hides. It's either all him or all you. There's no in between. And I believe every word of the gospel, every word of the scriptures really teaches this. But again, it's like we've gotten the Bible, but we've missed just this little part of it. There's a whole little part of it that you ignore. Like you're dead and you're buried in baptism. And so that can't be right. So we have to pay attention to what we think. We're convinced that sin isn't really the problem. Sin is something I do, but not what I am. And so we excuse sin. We can't believe, we can't see that there is an inseparable gulf between the human race and between you, between God. They can't join together because of sin. And so the only joining has to be in that which is sinless. But you can't keep doing the things that your mind does and live by faith. It can't be done. Now, to live by faith is scary. It violates everything that you have been taught. It doesn't make what you've been taught better.
So isn't it time to stop playing Chinese baseball? Isn't it time to understand that if you are crucified with him, then you must live by his faith alone, not your understanding of what his faith is? If you've been baptized, that means you've been buried. I don't care if you were sprinkled as an infant. You're still buried in baptism. And if his life, the resurrection, is not manifested in you, you have no hope anyway. Well, this is the gospel. It's not dependent on your understanding of it. It's not depending on you. I mean, the gospel is its own power. It doesn't need you. But it's a humongous, it's grace beyond grace that you've been even chosen to hear it. I'm still amazed that there's no way that I should have been given this mystery. And it makes everything else unimportant, not worthy of giving breath to. That's why we love the Lord our God. We give breath only to him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Oh yeah, but then there's this thing over here that I've got to pay attention. No, there isn't. What should I do about this? Believe in him who he has sent. What shall I do about that? Believe in him who he has sent. Well, that's not enough. Then you haven't heard. What do I do about this? What do I do about that? You don't understand. I think I understand far better than you think I do. The word love, remember, it can't have any competition. You cannot love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love anything else, give breath to anything else. It can't happen, because what you will do, you will hate the one and love the other. That's what the scriptures are clear about it. Mammon is not just, something. It's not like, oh, that must be money, or that must be this. Mammon is everything other than giving breath to him totally. You can't love God and mammon. And then you wonder why you forget this. It's because during the day something else gets your attention besides God. And whatever gets your attention, gets you. Doesn't matter how hungry you are, how thirsty you are, how much pain you're in. Doesn't matter how much apparent need there is. Whatever gets your attention takes you away from that great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That means give breath only to him at all times. That's the meaning of faith. Do you see that? Anything else is no faith. What shall I do about this? Believe on him who he has sent. 100% reliance. Do you have any concept of how often you worship the problem instead of God? Again, remember, worship just means give breath to. And so you give breath to it because you're afraid of suffering the consequences. You're afraid of the rod and the staff. You're afraid of the affliction and the suffering. The chastisement of the Lord. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But do they comfort you? Are you going to give breath to the issue that's gotten your attention? This isn't difficult. This isn't anything like arcane or anything weird. It's just the gospel. You don't have to have a PhD. You didn't have to graduate from high school. It's either true or it's not true. And you damn well better find out whether it's true right now. I don't have anything else to say. You understand the Chinese baseball analogy?
This made me think of the man, Jesus Christ, and his faith, which I realized while we're talking this morning, how in Galatians 2:20, where we live by the faith of Christ, I had marked his faith as something special and unique. But I was seeing this morning, his faith was very simple. It was in abandonment. That's all he did. And he lived by confidence in God, not in some pristine measure of faith that was special to him and not to anyone else. Because that faith, that same exact faith is in us, and that abandonment is it. It's not.
I mean, that's what he said.
Something not special.
To every man has been given the measure, the right amount of faith. It's not something that super saints do. It's just a what is. It's not anything special. It's just ordinary. And in our lives now, even the dust of the street is gold.
But what if we want an extra measure of that?
You want to die right now, or you want to wait a minute?
Well, at the same time, I got to say, I realized how evil my mind is because it had taken that concept of faith and it used it against me. It made it something special that I could relax in, but it wasn't the moment of faith. It was the concept that I had put confidence in.
No, I understand. That's what you do is you objectify instead of subjectify.
Yeah.
Once you objectify,
you can still live.
Right, because that's why the whole idea of using people, you know, on a utilitarian basis. I mean, it's like, you know, I've used this often, but you know, you go to the grocery store and the line is too long. All of a sudden, the line, the people in the line, the cashier, they all just become instruments in your utilitarian world, rather than seeing them. And expressively, where you always are. Christ was never in a utilitarian; it was always expressive. You see the difference? And it never concerned him whether, you know, with it was just a what is, because he was always abandoned. So there was never the question: well, how is this going to affect me? I mean, that the idea of that question, if he would have stayed as Son of Man in the mind, and then you know, that's what he did in his silent years. He found out that there was no there in the mind as Son of Man. He didn't go learn mystical things in India and all this other crap you hear in the Aquarian Gospel and others. He learned that there was no there. That's the highest that his mind could take him. So everything was always submitted to the will of the Father. And that doesn't take intelligence. It doesn't take anything except to know that you are sin. And that you can't even think about this. I mean, to think about this stuff, I promise you, if you try to figure it out by thinking about it, you will figure out how to use it. And that's not unique to Gary. I mean, it seems to be a lot of times. But I have never, I mean, nothing has ever come to me by study. Or thinking about it. It only comes by emptying. You forget when you spend your time thinking about it. And I mean, and that's fine. I want you to think about it. I want you to test everything. I want you to push everything to the limit. But then once you've done that and you said, okay, I agree, there's no there. Then to spend time, then to use your mind to try to understand this is goofy. Well, I've just been thinking about this. This is... why? What's going on? You're agape.
I've been telling you this for 8 years. I'm surprised you're telling me.
What are you telling me? What have you been telling me?
I'll just take the lead.
Try to straighten you out.
Well, he'd done a terrible job. It's so simple. It's so simple. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety. How did he beguile her? We forget that part of the scripture. He beguiled her into making a judgment. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is either true or it isn't. If it isn't, it's just this, it's even a stupid philosophy. It ain't going to benefit anybody. Oh, Jesus was a great teacher. No, he wasn't. He was the worst teacher that has ever come upon the face of the earth. Oh, he was a kind man. Yeah, right. He taught us family values. Yeah, right. No one comes to me unless he hates his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, his children, his own life also. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. Oh, but he must have been all that stuff, because that's what my mind says he was. Any expansions on the tale, Miss Josanna? Rosanna Dana? It's always what you all say. You don't believe, that's the problem. Every time, for years and years and years, every time there's a problem, Josanna, she'd hold it in for a while and pray. You don't have a problem, you just don't believe.
I think I understood that story in the Bible where the prophet talking to the people, they say, we will serve the Lord, and he says, you cannot serve the Lord.
Joshua.
Yeah, you cannot serve the Lord. You think you can, go ahead and try it.
Then he said, this stone is now a witness against you, because you've said that. Oh, no, we're just serving the Lord because we love him. No, you don't. You love him because you think you can use him.
You know the word Selah? That's all through the Psalms. I listened to Rod Parsley. And Rod Parsley was saying, Selah, every 5 seconds. And what Selah means really, it didn't mean like think about it to try to. It means see the full implications of what's just been said. Let it fully, you know, because it doesn't mean just think about it like intellectually. You got to see the full implications of it. And I promise you, whenever it says Selah, the full implications of it is like, if you have the slightest interest in protecting yourself, then Selah means I'm dead meat. I'm the chief of sinners. All righty. Take it, big guy. Remember, do not even go to bat one time in Chinese baseball today.
Don't take first base.